Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here. I'm a little dizzy from my diet, but I'll try to hang in there.
If Chuck just keels over. I don't even laugh. I laugh. I'll just turn the mic on me and we'll get to Chuck later. Someone call 911. No, I'm kidding. You okay?
He's
going to be okay. Which maybe means that when every time he needs to talk, I'll be like, Chuck, I'll just say my opinion. Hey, Truth Straight Up brought to you by AmericanCitizenPress.com and Denver Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. Let me start by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there celebrating this weekend. And then we'll say Happy Father's Day. Happy non-binary they, them, it, free day too, I guess, if that floats your boat. Happy Mother's Day, because only mothers and only women can actually have a Mother's Day, because only women can actually be mothers. So now we're going to be banned from the universe there. So a lot to talk about today. We want to talk about CNN is saying that the reason they have all the security up around the Supreme Court and the reason everybody's on edge is because the far right is threatening violence over the abortion draft opinion. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about 2,000 mules. A good win for us. The court threw out the Mark Elias evil mastermind plan of trying to get Marjorie Taylor Greene off the ballot because she didn't condemn the January 6th people. The court said, no, you can't do that.
No.
But my point is here, we do not want to relax on that. And Chuck wants to talk about, which it's a really good point, cameras in the courtroom, comparing sort of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. He's still obsessed with Johnny Depp trial.
Only halfway through.
A week break.
Plus.
I know. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Okay. He's going to have to watch the reruns. But let's start with Jen Psaki. So this is interesting. So as you know, and if you don't follow, even if you're not on Twitter, I think you can go on Twitter and check out Libs of TikTok. We've all seen the far left people. I don't understand why their reaction is to scream and shout. And it's like where the wild things are, right? They roar their terrible roars and they gnash their terrible teeth. I mean, it's like, protest, but I just understand this bizarre temper tantrum throwing that they do. And are you okay? This bizarre temper tantrum throwing that they do. But that's what they do. Elizabeth Warren, who was so freaked out, she was angry. Although you have to keep in mind that most states, including Colorado, have abortion laws. Yeah, it's like this is not going to do anything like that. And they're like, well, now the Supreme Court is going to ban interracial marriage. It's like, what? Okay. Where did that come? I mean, typically they go to, just like with COVID, right? We're all going to die in 2 weeks. It's like, boom, they go to DEF CON. I don't know, whatever the worst DEF CON times 10 would be, which in its own way anymore, it used to drive me crazy. It still drives me crazy. But now I think it's kind of good because they so overreact. I don't think anyone even listens. It's like, oh, look, those crazy progressive Dem women who all need psychological help. I'm freaking out again over this. I mean, what do you think?
Well, they always freak out, but this one is probably worth it. This is the first time in 100 years in which, you know, the left's always going, we're progressing, because whatever left-wing thing they get through stays in, and they go after the next left-wing thing. This is one they got through 50 years ago, and now has been reversed. And so conservatives and those who don't like the left-wing agenda can take an enormous satisfaction that it took a half century, but it got accomplished.
Well, and again, let's talk about what got accomplished, right? What got accomplished was the courts simply said that nowhere in any of these amendments to the Constitution does it say you have a constitutional, God-given right to an abortion. I mean, that's all it said. It doesn't say, apparently the draft opinion said states can do whatever they want. It didn't prohibit abortions, right? And the other thing I'd like to point out, the Democrats, you guys, we may end early. Chuck is feeling kind of Rev had a cold. Don't worry. We'll keep you updated on his process. Rev had a cold, and I hope he doesn't have that. We'll keep you appraised. All right. But the left, for 50 years, since this has come into play, they've been able to, if they wanted to in Congress, to go ahead and pass a law themselves in Congress, right? And they don't. And the problem is because they also are lying to you about the polls. It's my understanding that most polls show on the issue of should, in general, abortions be available, the country's pretty much split 50-50. But where the country is not split is when you start getting into the specifics, right? The country, I think it's something like 80-20, 80% say, for instance, the law that we have in Colorado, which, I mean, you can have an abortion up to the moment of birth and arguably after birth, right? You don't have to save the baby. That 80% of the people are opposed to that. And the further you get along in the pregnancy, an increasing number of people are opposed to abortion. There are some people that are opposed to it in all circumstances, some just in certain circumstances. I mean, so when they say that the country widely supports abortion, well, that, you know, again, as always, the devil is in the details, which is why the Democrats won't vote on it. Because, I mean, Schumer is saying, oh, we're going to push it to a vote so everybody next week, right? So everybody's going to be on the record. I wonder, because I think the Democrats don't want to be on the record either. Because, again, what is it that they're going to vote for? So keep in mind, when they start freaking out, it's all for show. It's all for fundraising. It's all to whip up their base and hope that they don't notice the terrible economic situation that we're in. Hope they don't notice that crime is rising. Hope they don't notice that they can't afford gasoline for their work anymore. I mean, I hope they don't notice any of that. And they hope that, I don't know, all these privileged soccer moms in the suburbs rise up over this, you know, your body, your choice. They also have a problem saying it's setting back the women's movement because they have to, how do you say, well, only women can have babies, but actually everyone can have babies. I mean, it's a ridiculous, the whole thing is ridiculous and it twists them into pretzels. So I think that's why they resort to screaming and shouting. But here's where it starts to cross a line. I mean, we're used to the Democrats screaming and shouting and throwing their little temper tantrums or their giant temper tantrums or their peaceful protests, mostly peaceful protests. But they've taken it a step too far, I believe. And what some people are arguing is actually a criminal step. And what they're doing is there's a group called Ruth Said to Us, okay, referring to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And that this organization, which is funded, you know, by Democrat deep state or dark money, has doxed, in other words, released maps with the addresses of the homes of the conservative Supreme Court justices. They say they're going to plan to protest there. The same group is saying they're going to do a rampage at Catholic churches this weekend, even though Joe Biden the other day bizarrely said every major Christian religion supports abortion. I'm like, I don't think everyone does. But anyway, so they're doing that. Now, here's the thing. That is a crime. It is a crime to try to harass, intimidate, influence, somehow threaten a judge who's involved in a case. You can't do that, right? I mean, that's sort of the foundation of our justice system. And you would think that we have the separation of powers. You've got Congress, the president, you've got the Supreme Court. To me, they should be staying out of it, right? They should just say, look, the Supreme Court is doing what it's doing. They're their own branch, whatever. But Joe Biden and the White House refuse to say that we should, that the Supreme Court justices should not be harassed and threatened and intimidated. I'm going to play a soundbite and thank God for somebody like Peter Ducey, because we got our own Denver Post basically fundraising for abortions. Talk about bias, right? They're putting a link in there to tell people how you can get an abortion. Number one, idiots at the Denver Post, you can get an abortion in Colorado. It's a law now in Colorado. And nobody reads the Denver Post anyway, so it probably doesn't make that much difference. But they also put a link to Act Blue, which is the Democrat fundraising arm, so that people could donate money there too. I mean, talk about a bias. But Peter Ducey from Fox News was asking Jen Psaki about the fact that this group is planning on, has already doxxed and put the addresses out there, and is completely advocating violence and threats and intimidation against the Supreme Court justices. Now, you'd think, given the way they reacted to the January 6th insurrection, that they would be like, that's bad, bad, bad. You shouldn't do that. But here's what Jen Psaki actually had to say about the White House position. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Psaki bite.
yesterday. So just about moving forward, these activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document. We obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be.
So he doesn't care if they're protesting outside the Supreme Court or outside someone's private residence.
I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest. We want it, of course, to be peaceful. And certainly the president would want people's privacy to be respected. But I think we shouldn't lose the point here. The reason people are protesting is because women across the country are worried about their fundamental rights that have been law for 50 years, their rights to make choices about their own bodies and their own health care are at risk. That's why people are protesting. They're unhappy. They're scared.
And there are a bunch of whiny crybabies. Okay, first of all, when she says the government doesn't have a position on where people protest, maybe let's tell that to the people who've been locked up since January 6th of last year.
Right.
Okay,
I
guess. Yeah, on misdemeanor charges. So I guess the government cared where they protested then, right? So, the hypocrisy is stunning there. But for the Biden White House to say our official stance, because that's what she's saying, is, hey, yeah, as long as it's a cause that we agree with, we think it's okay for people to go ahead and protest outside the Supreme Court justices' homes, to go ahead and dox them, to go ahead and threaten them, to threaten churches.
Oh, no, I said peaceful, mostly peaceful.
Well, yeah, you know.
Mostly peaceful, anyway.
Yeah, and this is from Dr. Donna. Oh, thank you. Sandra's like, yes, Julie Wahoo from Dr. Donna, the emotional vitriol is absolutely entertaining. Sandra says, I'm more interested in why the supposed Supreme Court opinion was leaked in the first place. What are they hiding? What are they doing behind our back? And so I hope Chuck is okay thinking good thoughts. Chuck is back. Chuck
just
is back.
Just like reconsideration of Roe.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just outrageous that that's where the country has gone. And I know we were talking about this. Is this going to energize the left? Or is it going to energize the left, the right, a mix of the between? I think that this kind of, I'm trying to scooch it. I think that this kind of, it's kind of like, yeah, you have the right to protest, but you don't have the right to burn down the city, right? And people watched enough of that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, and then you read that Black Lives Matter people are buying mansions with the money that people are donating. And a lot of things go, Chuck is, what are you doing? Don't mind Chuck today, guys. So he's just wandering. He's just popping in and out. Okay, he's okay. But you know, so they have all of these positions that they take only when it fits them, right? I mean, free speech is good until, of course, it's conservatives having free speech. So there's just, but I think, though, it is dangerous because if you're a Supreme Court, and I think that is the thing, like Sandra, like you said, why did they leak? And I think there seems to be a consensus that whoever did it was, well, let's look at a couple things there, actually. So number one, so the leak comes out. My guess is when you're a reporter, okay, and you have a beat, like the reporters in Political, they were the Supreme Court beat. You work people on the beat, and frankly, you try to get them constantly to leak stuff to you, right? You get them to say, how's it looking? What do you think is going on? How's the decision coming? When do you expect it? That kind of thing. So it wasn't like the Political reporter was like, ring, ring, hello. Oh, you're sending me no, it didn't work that way. You had reporters probably from all networks and all organizations working their sources at the Supreme Court, trying to get a feel for what was going on. So that has never, the fact that it was leaked in spite of all that kind of constant, I don't know, pressure isn't the right word, but urgings from reporters is shocking in and of itself. But this, I believe, was organized because they leak it. Right. They leak it. The protests begin immediately. The signs are made. Right. You just think those people, everybody, you know, on that night is sitting there going, oh, my God, quick, get out the magic markers and the poster boards and let's get the bus on down to the Supreme Court. No, it was organized. So somebody knew the leak was coming. The person who leaked it, I'm sure, had discussions with other people on how, which makes sense, frankly, if you're going to leak it, how are we going to best put this together to get the most effective result, right? And what we really need to do here is, because all we have to do is talk about the economy, things are bad, bad, bad. Everybody hates Joe Biden. We need to whip up our base. We're going to get everybody angry. We're going to say all kinds of outrageous things. And they're going to start protesting in front of the Supreme Court homes of the justices. It was all organized, I submit to you. None of it was organic. So whoever the leaker was, I think very clearly this was their plan. And, you know, when CNN says, oh, the far right is going to be violent, what are we going to be violent about, right? I mean, number one, the far right is never violent. I mean, what's far right? Far right would be people who support right to life. That's not that far right. They're not violent anyway. And so for them to say that, it's kind of like, and people don't believe them anymore at all. I think that, so I, now that Chuck's not here, I can say this. I think that people see through the Democrats. And I think that people are like, no matter how they feel, yes, the abortion issue is very important. On the other hand, I suspect that most people right now are, but for me, here are some other issues that matter a whole lot more to me. This is from Leo. Waiting for the live CNN feed is Clarence Thomas's house is on fire and the mostly peaceful protest. Exactly, because it was the only house on fire on the block. Charlene says, if you want to color revolution, you do a leak, you leak an opinion to stir folks up. Absolutely. I mean, this from Charlene. Yes, Julie, it's an operation. It is an operation. Everything with them is an operation. Speaking of that, though, and you guys feel free to comment there. If you're listening live and you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. You can call in. And also remind you, if you aren't, you know, you can always catch the show later at chuckandjulie.com. We have links to all of our sites. So we can keep talking about this, but I also wanted to move on to another piece of good news today. Remember way back when, one of the, again, with the Dems, there are always these wheels within wheels within wheels, right? One of the reasons that they were making and continue to make such a big deal about the January 6th Fed surrection is what I think it was, in spite of the fact that, again, all the polls show no one else cares, is they want to use it at a number of levels. And way back then, months ago, Mark Elias, who is the evil mastermind behind some of the Russiagate stuff, he's with Lawfare, which kind of feeds the media their storyline or their narratives, like literally on a daily basis. He's been with them. He's just, in a way, an evil genius within the Democrat Party. And he was saying, well, yeah, if somebody did not speak out or supported the January 6th insurrection, well, an insurrection, you can't run for office if you've supported an insurrection. And back then I said, you watch, they're going to start filing lawsuits all around the country against Republicans who either were there or supported it or didn't come out and condemn it. I mean, that's going to be their tactic. And all they need is one judge, right? They just need to get lucky in one case. Well, so far they haven't gotten lucky in Arizona where they filed it. The judge said, no, the candidates can run. Marjorie Taylor Greene, there was a big battle in Georgia where the same group of people filed a lawsuit saying she's an insurrectionist, therefore she's not qualified to run again. And the court said, no, that's not the case. She can run again. And so we're winning on that one. But I think, make no mistake, this is how, number one, desperate they are, because they know they can't win on the merits of their ideas. They know that they're enormously unpopular. They know to a certain extent that Republicans, or at least some Republicans, are getting onto them in terms of the ballot harvesting and some of their election integrity issues. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit here too. But I think they can do stuff like this. They can challenge people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. In a way, do they care whether she won or didn't win? No. But what they do is they get to throw out a ton of negative publicity about her. They force her to spend money on lawyers, money and time that she would otherwise have to spend on her reelection. Now she's got to spend it fighting them. I guarantee you they're going to, if Ron Hanks wins the Republican primary for Senate, they're going to file it against him. And same thing, he's going to get all this negative publicity. He's going to have to fight it in court. It's just part of their overlying strategy, right? Just little like 1,000 paper cuts on top of everything else. So I think Republicans have to be careful, because they are, as we speak, I think they're cooking up other schemes too, other ways to try to prevent people from having a fair and transparent election. I think it's great that the courts so far are ruling, but as you know, Chuck has taken a break here again. He'll be back. But as Chuck would tell you, you know, and we've seen judges just doing whatever the heck they want. We saw in the Dave Let's Go Brandon Williams case, right? Dave wanted to be able to use his nickname, Let's Go Brandon, on the ballot. Colorado law very clearly says you can use a nickname on the ballot. So Dave wanted to use it on the ballot. Progressive partisan hack Jenna Griswold, Secretary of State, said, no, you can't. So Dave went to court in Denver District Court. And I was there and I listened, and the judge came back and said, well, you actually did prove it was your nickname. So yeah, under the law, you should be able to use it on the ballot, but I'm not going to let you anyway. I'm going to say that Jenna Griswold can tell you that she can't. I'm just going to give her powers that are not hers, and I'm going to tell her that she can't, right? So not only did Dave not win that, but he also then had to spend money that he could be spending on his campaign for Congress in CD5. He had to spend time and money and energy to fight for something that the judge agreed with him he should be able to do. But this judge said, I don't care. I'm still not going to let you. So, you know, the Democrats are like, if we just keep pushing somewhere, we're going to find a judge who will say, you know, I know Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't an insurrectionist, but I'm going to say she can't be on the ballot anyway. And then what do you do with that, right? I mean, ballots are going out. So you've got to take it to the Supreme Court again, more time and more energy. This is from Sandra. Yeah, this is from Charlene. You know, hope we get to the point where we can say, look what deep state they're trying to pull off to date. Mark Elias, Sandra says, was or is an attorney with Perkins Coie, correct? I think was. I think he's his own, right? Chuck, he's his own thing now. Okay. Was Mark Elias the one who gave the order to five states to stand down and quit counting votes when Trump was ahead on election night? You know, I haven't seen 2,000 Mules. I think that Mark Elias was involved in an overall strategy to take advantage of the COVID situation, to take advantage of inaccurate voter rolls, the whole thing, right? I don't know that I have heard anything that said there was like one person who said that. I suspect, and this is what the folks at True the Vote say, is that that this was sort of an organized criminal conspiracy because it was organized. I suspect it was the kind of thing that nobody had to actually go out there and say that, kind of like when the mafia boss says stuff like, boy, I sure wish somebody would quit counting the votes, right? And I suspect, you know, Stephen, I don't know, but I suspect it was more something like that, that individually these people knew that they needed time to have the ballot dumps occur. And then from Stephen, fair and transparent elections are kind of like safe and effective vaccines. Yeah. You know, sort of as an aside, I saw another person today, Lefty, was tweeting, I'm fully vaxxed and boosted and I got COVID, and then said, thank God for the vaccine. I'm like, are you hearing yourself? It's like, if you're fully vaxxed and boosted and you still got COVID, what good was the vaccine? But anyway, this from Dr. Donna. Larimer had a county commissioner in 2020 that fell short of the required signatures, yet the Secretary of State said that was all right. We'll cut you some slack as it's tough times. You know, where are the petition trophies for on though? Exactly, right? And then she tried to throw Eric Altman, saying he didn't make it, and he didn't need to make it because he made it through that for in CD7 on the at the assembly process, but he also went the petition route and initially said, nope, you don't have enough. And then he had to sue her. And then it turns out, oh, magically you do have enough, right? So it's, you know, but keep in mind though, I guess where I'm going with all of this is every time we have a victory, I think Republicans tend to say, okay, good. We settled that. We solved that. And now we're going to go back to our jobs, our families, our lives. And the Democrats aren't. The Democrats already have a plan B, C, D, E, F, you name it, in the works. And they immediately kick that up into gear two. I mean, let's face it. The Democrats certainly had to be aware that the opinion could go against them in the Roe versus Wade. So they had a plan. That's what I'm saying. It was an operation. I suspect that they knew somebody who would leak. I suspect that the Supreme Court justice, now Chuck disagrees with me a little bit here, but I suspect that the justice might have been in on it, whoever it was. I mean, Breyer's retiring, right? What does he care? What does his law clerk care, right? If, you know, and then when they say stuff like, oh my God, they'll be disbarred, they'll lose their career. They're like, no, they won't. Has James Comey lost his career? Has, you know, I mean, Brennan, Clapper, Peter Strzok, Kleinsmith, who was the FBI agent who actually was convicted, right? Have any of them lost their jobs? No, none of them have lost their jobs. They're all celebrities. I mean, look at the woman who accused Judge Kavanaugh, right? And that turned out to be all a lie. She gets awarded ESPN Person of the Year, you know? So no, whoever did that, the leak, it was organized way ahead of time, I suspect anyway. And they knew what they were going to do. There was a plan the whole time, and that's what they did. I put my glasses on. And Charlene is saying, exactly, Julie. I mean, that's what I think. And they've got it too. For whatever other rulings there are that they're paying attention to, anything they can do to whip up their base, to whip up excitement, to whip up negativity. The problem is, as Chuck has said, is hardly anybody's paying attention. Well, maybe not hardly any. Very few people are paying attention to the sort of legacy corporate media, deep state media anymore. Like I said, so the Denver Post does its story. In its story, it starts telling people how they can go get abortions, right? It starts telling people if you want to help donate to make sure that they can fight this, here's where you need to donate. And then it's Act Blue, which is a Democrat link, right? There was a time when that never would have happened. There was a time when having had it happen, there would have been a huge outcry. Not so much anymore, because again, people don't read the Denver Post. So I think when you have CNN say, well, the far right is calling for violence, I mean, I think it has way less impact, which maybe is why they have to scream louder the whole time. This from Stephen: not one thing will happen to leakers. DOJ will never prosecute. I'll bet we'll never know who it was. You know, I don't know, unless they get out and write a book, right? They could write a book. And then Leo says, Stephen, DOJ is fast tracking the leak investigation. It's a priority right after Hunter's laptop. Exactly. Exactly. And right after they finish the Russia hoax thing, then they're going to move on to Hunter's laptop. Then they're going to look into that whole thing where Joe Biden's people just, you know, accidentally, you know, car bombed a whole family in Afghanistan and that whole debacle. Right after they get done with all of that, then they'll kind of start looking into this leak thing. So keep in mind, so we it is a war. It is a war to them. And we have to not let up, right? We have to remember, so we won this one. Well, what are they doing now to use it against it? What are they doing now to undermine it? What is their next strategy? And moving on from that, and again, I'm kind of free-flowing here, but moving on from that, 2,000 mules. We didn't see it. It only showed, I think, the second and the fourth, right? We talked about going to see it and it didn't. I think it is, you can buy it and then live stream it this weekend on Rumble. And I think if you want to watch it, which I do, I think if you go to Dinesh D'Souza's website, you can get all the information there. But I tell you where you cannot go. I just tried, because I wanted to see where to go. So I just thought, okay. So I went to Google.com and put in 2,000 mules. You're going to laugh at this. 2,000 mules, Denver Showtimes, right? You know how many stories came up about the 2,000 mules documentary? How many on the first page? Two. One of them was an NPR story trashing it. And the other one was a Colorado Times reporter. Times Recorder, which is a Democrat blog site, very progressive blog site, also trashing it. Only two things came up about the documentary, both of them articles trashing it. Everything else started talking about mules, like the animal mules and the Civil War and mules in history, stuff like that. So you tell me, now, wait a minute, you know, it's been a topic all over the place. So you tell me that Google isn't censoring that. And then just to see, right, I went to DuckDuckGo. Granted, DuckDuckGo has its issues these days too, because they're kind of getting into the disinformation field. But on DuckDuckGo, there were pages of actual showtimes. There was pages about the documentary, and it didn't even get into, I mean, it did what I thought it should do. It got into where to watch it, right? And then that got into articles about it. But if you think they're not censoring, and if you think it's not going to crack down even more, Twitter won't let you tweet about it. Twitter, I think, suspended the 2,000 Mules account. You know, it's hard to tell that they shadow banning again. I think so. I think Elon Musk hasn't totally taken over. But I think I was surprised. My daughter, who is liberal, said she wanted to watch it too, because she said intelligently, I want to see for myself. I want to see what they have to say. So all of these people who just knee jerk, not going to see it. It's a lie. I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. I don't need to watch it. It's a lie. Even those in the Republican Party, I challenge you to watch it and just say what you think, because from what I understand, the stories that we've done, the people we've talked to, and you guys know, it does talk about the inaccurate voter rolls. Voter rolls that are never purged. There's never any attempt to verify, does this person live at this address? As Mike O'Donnell, the Secretary of State candidate, said, you've got in Colorado, his, as he said, completely, I mean, you know, I don't want to say casual, but just he, one guy, was able to find all kinds of addresses where you know, what do you say? In one place, 140 people were, had ballots going to these houses. And what I suspect happens is some of these progressive Democrat organizations, the NGOs, buy the voter information so they can see who's registered but who's not voting, because you never get kicked off the voter roll here in Colorado. You're registered as soon as you register your car. You're never kicked off. No one verifies it. You technically, Colorado has a law that says you cannot take more than 10 ballots to the ballot box. No one forces it. No one checks it, right? The signature verification is thrown out. I mean, all of the rules got thrown out in Colorado, and even more so in some other states because of COVID. And so they took advantage of it. And then Mark Zuckerberg kicks in millions and millions and millions of dollars to put drop boxes in certain Democrat areas. The True the Vote people said they found people, I think what they say, making an average these ballot mules. The way they would do it is they would collect ballots. And I think from what they said, that it was like tentacles. There were a number of ways they collect them. Some of them, they go to the people, they say, give me your ballot. Some of them, they said, this has been going on for years, numerous ways. But they get the ballots, they take them to these non-governmental organizations funded by Democrat deep money. That's where the ballots are filled out and bundled. And then they give them in clumps to these ballot mules who drive around to a few drop boxes, right, where they know no one's paying attention. And even though it's completely illegal, we'll put 20, 30 in at a time. Then they go back, and they were talking about, they figured by their estimate, roughly 7% of all the ballots cast were processed in this way. It's illegal. It's not fair. It's not transparent. It's not integrity. It's not the gold standard, but it happened. They figure, and that, in their estimation, would have been enough to change the results of the election. You know, so I, that's sort of the gist. But I know I was reading Ash Epp, who we had on the show, Ash in America. She was saying, I thought, I'll have to get a back check. She was saying, I thought I knew all about it, right? And I was pretty up to speed on it. And she said, I was shocked at some of the information that they had going on in this 2,000 mules. Yeah, and how many voted at 1:30 to 3:30? Well, you know, again, Dr. Donna, what they do is they go ahead and they say, oh, well, you know, we're changing the rules. You know, it doesn't have to be in by this date. It can come in. You coming back?
Coming back.
Chuck is all right. He's perking up. Chuck is taking some new medication, I think, that's making him dizzy. We got a golf. We got a tea time.
Tea time
on Saturday.
Oh, so tea time. Tea time.
He's going to be better. Okay, moving on. Then we're all over the place today, but that's all right. You want to talk about your update on the Depp trial and then cameras in the courtroom?
Well, Leah, cameras in the courtroom. There's been a lot of talk because of the millions of people who are watching the live stream on the Depp versus Heard one. That is, are we turning the justice system into a carnival? Well, the justice system has always been a carnival. Whether you go to Clarence Darrow's trial and lots of others, they've always been open. But now people are being able to watch from the sanctity of their home.
Of their laptop.
Is it important that we be able to watch justice being dealt out? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes.
Well, you can see, like I said, I've covered courts for decades in Colorado, and in Colorado courts for a long time, they have what they call expanded media motion. And that's been granted for a long time, right? Rarely does, sometimes in particularly sensitive cases or case involving a child, sometimes in sex assault cases, they won't grant the expanded media motion, or you can have cameras in the courtroom. But what's different now is what that would be is you would have cameras in the courtroom, and then all the reporters would take the cameras and we go back and we put together a 1-2 minute news story about it, right? So you were still dependent on the filter of the reporter. And I can tell you, having covered, and you're a trial attorney, so you know this, there would be, you know, you'd have 8 hours of testimony in a day, right? And you have to whittle it down to a couple of minutes while explaining the whole thing over and over again. I mean, you were maybe able to get two or three important points in, and that was about it, right?
Well, let's say the direct testimony of Amber Heard. If you were just giving the explanation, you wouldn't say, well, she looked like a piece of lying garbage. You just said, well, she
seemed tense.
She claimed this, and then he bottle raped her, and then he raped her with a door handle, and then he raped her. You report the facts, but those are so damning, if believed, that are incredibly deleterious to Johnny Depp. But a lot of people, just like the Rittenhouse case, people were shocked when Rittenhouse was acquitted. And anybody watching the trial was not shocked. I mean, they knew that that was a likely result because they'd watched the testimony all the way through. Well, here, the vast majority of people watching, not all, but the vast majority believe that Amber Heard is absolutely lying. Right. Now, she still has some supporting witnesses that could change that. But you have a whole different view than if you had somebody giving you a 2-minute rendition of what happened.
I think you could tell it because I was watching Twitter because I was expecting, frankly, it to be kind of split, right? Because I haven't paid that much. I'm not obsessed like Chuck is. Yeah. But in Twitter, she's just being savaged. I mean, all these people are like, you know, look, I was kind of for her, but I'm listening to her now. And it's a complete lie because you can see it in real time. Another thing that happened in real time, this is bizarre. This would have never happened before. So apparently one of the first questions that they asked Amber Heard, who Johnny Depp is suing for defamation, saying, you know, she slandered him and libeled him and defamed him when she claimed he was abusive to her. She starts out with this quote, like, Johnny was like the sun when he loved you. And she has this kind of flowery, loving quote kind of thing, right? And then some internet sleuths realized it was a word for word,
almost word for word
taken from the Incredible Mr. Ripley, right? I mean, same thing. Now, so a few didn't think she was lying. I mean, it's like, I mean, maybe she's telling the truth and she saw that, but that's kind of a weird thing. So I agree with you. It's because people can watch now and you can see. And number one, I think court trials are always fascinating. If you haven't dipped in, it's addictive. You'll be like Chuck. You'll be like, oh my God. Fortunately, our show is on after the trial, the testimony is over for the day. So you can watch us too. But I think you're right. I think normally, when judges don't want to have cameras in the courtroom, they'll say something like, well, it could affect the jurors or something. You're like, you know, and the media always argues, well, the jurors are told not to watch it. And I think no one's ever been able to come up with a case where they could say definitively this did indeed affect the jury rights, but they just don't like it. I submit because they worry about looking stupid, the judges and the lawyers.
Well, that's why the Supreme Court to this day will not have those arguments, which
federal court can't be.
Well, some I think you can. But you know, the Supreme Court justices don't look old and doddered and whatever else they are.
Sleeping.
And so they refuse to let cameras in the courtroom, which of all the ones, you would think that would be the most advantageous.
Right. Can some abuse victims groups sue her for damage? You know, Charlene, she is being trashed by some of the abuse victims organizations. I'm saying that she is, you know, making a bad name. She's hurting all of the women who are really abused and want to be believed. And, you know, we'll see how, I mean, it's up to the jury. It's always, I've covered enough trials to know.
You never know.
And how something's coming across to you and how something's coming across to the jury or to a particularly charismatic person on the jury who convinces everybody else. It's hard to say, but I was surprised to see the almost overwhelming response on Twitter, and not like the Stand With Johnny page, just the general
Justice for Johnny.
Yeah. Not, there's that page, which is what you would expect, but there is just the, you know, Johnny Depp v Amber Heard hashtag. If you go there, and I think Chuck is absolutely right. I mean, think about Kyle Rittenhouse. No one knew what to expect, but when he testified, right, you could just.
Oh, and you watch the trial and you watch these incredibly sleazy prosecutors trying to get away with murder, literally, no, figuratively, I guess. You know, you had a whole different view of the case. And certainly when he came on, that changed everything.
Right. And I think you're right. And Amber Heard, it is interesting because she won when the judge in England, same trial basically in England, and the judge found her to be terribly sympathetic and ruled in her favor. And so I think a lot of people assumed, right? But now it's interesting. And you're right. You watch her and there are so many things, you know, and again, thank God, that's why we need to get rid of the masks, right? There's so many things we I don't mind, that are part of communication, part of human communication and interaction. And when you actually watch her and you see her
crying away,
well, without actually tears coming out, right?
Right.
So they say she's crying. Yeah, Sandra says her attorney is making a mistake, letting her run on and on. I agree, Charlene, hurting her case. Because number one, how she can remember that under cross-examination, right? But she's going on and on and on. And then, you know, if you're that defense attorney, you're like, okay, well, did you say this? Because she's been deposed, she's had other trials. They had that, right? I mean, that's attorneys, right? You want to keep it short and sweet because everything she says,
you can. On that kind of case,
you don't think
you want the emotion to come out in the heart of the moment and everything. If when you go into the cross, you want to keep it short. But except she's so crazy. I mean, you know, the way she's described it, he almost killed her, and lucky he didn't kill her at least three times. Although, when the police would come in one of the cases, they saw no problem, you know. And so
Right. She,
you know, the rest of her testimony probably won't matter much, but the cross will matter enormously. And who else does she have to corroborate her really what appear to be outlandish claims other than her sister?
Well, she does. I mean, this is a woman, like somebody said, this is a woman who takes 30 selfies a day, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's, every time Johnny Depp falls asleep, she was taking a picture of him, right? Looking
she
bad.
Loved him, though,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. But she never bothered to take pictures of her own injuries. Right. And so she has all these horrible things done. Like he burns it to puts a cigarette out on her face. Right. But there's no,
that's nice. That's nice, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. But she doesn't take a picture of that. So it's interesting. And I think you're right, Chuck. I think that this, and I think that was one of the positive things, one of the few that came from COVID, and that was the courts got used to everything is on like WebEx or some sort of live streaming thing for the testimony. So it's very easy to just, boom, go ahead and just put that out there that people can watch then. So, I mean, I think it's good. And I think, why not, right? Why not let people see what's actually going on in the courtroom?
Yeah, well, it's open to the public. So there's just a version of that. They didn't have webcams in 1789.
And this is, yeah, Dr. Donna, this is a jury trial. Yes, it is a jury trial. Charlene says, Twitter said she put something up her nose on the stand to produce actual tears and her sinuses opened up. That's pretty funny. here's from Steve. Here's the Facts Matter YouTube video on the Georgia election. Yeah, facts do matter. One other thing too, and then maybe we'll end a little early on this Party Friday for your sake. This, I think, is another kind of media thing. But as you all know, Jen Psaki is leaving next week, reportedly to go to MSNBC. And a lot of people have been complaining about that. I got to admit, I don't find that so hard. I think it's not unusual for a media person to spokesperson to leave from one place and go to another. I would think the other reporters would be mad about it, right? I think they would be mad because theoretically she could be favoring MSNBC.
Well, do you think Jean Paul Maria,
no,
whoever her name is going to be tough
the
on
new
CNN?
One. No, I mean that's so. But yeah, so that was bad enough. But the new person who's going to be taking over for Jen Psaki is, as Breitbart, excuse me, says, literally in bed with CNN. She's married. Her partner is a CNN national correspondent.
And a woman, of course.
And a woman, right. And so, I mean, and of course, she checks the box that she's gay, she's Black, so she, hooray, hooray. But it's like, but she's married to a CNN correspondent. It's like, again, you would think the other reporters would be like, well, that's not quite fair. I mean, you'd think there'd
be. Well, when you think about it, why not? I mean, you know.
Well,
you
got, like it matters.
Yeah, you got George Stephanopoulos that goes from, and, you know, goes
back and forth to the
back
Clintons.
Back and forth and all the rest of them. So in some ways, they kind of
but
go,
can you imagine
they're
that,
so badly.
Can you imagine
anyway,
if Kayleigh McEnany, though, had gone immediately? Yeah, I mean, if Kayleigh McEnany was, say, I won't take her out of it, but
well,
the Trump spokesperson.
She'd be in Gulag in Washington on a minor misdemeanor where she'd be there for 8 years.
Right. It's like if she had, if a Trump press person had been married to somebody at Fox News, right? You'd think they would complain about that, but I don't know. That, I mean, the media, they know they're so crooked and corrupt, though. They don't even care anymore. And now they all have COVID from the White House correspondence dinner anyway. From Dr. Donna, anyone say It's conflict of interest. Exactly. And from Charlene, the media's job is to convince the 80% majority that the other 20% is in the majority. No, they're right. That the minority is a majority. Yeah. And it's
not. Gaslight them.
Gaslight them. And it's not working anymore. But anything else you wanted to go? We'll let Chuck take it easy.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Watch Chuck. Okay. You guys, I apologize a little bit. TJ, I know you were catching you off guard here. We're going to wrap it up a little bit early today. We will on Monday. We have, for Chuck's sake, an expert who's going to talk to us, actually Dr. Stephen Turley, on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. He's got an interesting twist. He says what we're watching is sort of this trial epitomizes sort of the destruction of the whole celebrity class and how people...
Well, that'll do it. Yeah. The one thing you can, if you thought, you know, why am I not perfectly happy? Human beings were not intended to be happy. As a practical matter, here's Johnny Depp. He's got millions of dollars. Everybody's fawning over him. He's a world famous star. You go through his life, it sucks. I mean, what a miserable, awful, terrible life. You wouldn't want to impose that on your worst enemy.
Well, someone was asking about, did Elon Musk, who dated Amber Heard, they are not dating anymore. You can see he's probably watching this going, oh my God, did I dodge a bullet here?
Oh man.
Did I dodge a bullet? Leo says the ballet will make you feel better.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody have a great party Friday. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And we will see you on Monday. Thank
everybody
you to
take care.
Everyone as always.